Let's pray. Dear God, speak to us, Lord. Give us that receptive ear to listen to your word and be obedient. And whatever the challenges that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One Sunday morning, Henry Jones, as a guy named called, awoke to find his wife standing over him, shaking him by the shoulder. "You have to get up," she urged. "We have to get ready to church." "I don't want to go to church," he replied. "I want to stay in bed." His wife, crossing her arms over her chest, demanded, "Give me 3 good reasons why I should stay, why you should stay in bed and not go to church." That's what his wife asked. "Okay," he answered. "First, I don't get anything out of the service. Second, I don't like the people there. Third, no one there likes me either." And then the husband said, "Now, can you give me 3 good reasons why I should go to church?" His wife responded, "First, it will do you some good. Second, there are people who really do like you. Third, you have to go because you are the minister." I promise I didn't say that to my wife. You see, Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and the disciples told him, "Hey, Jesus, look at those massive stones. Can you see? Are you impressed that the way we are impressed? Look at these magnificent buildings. Look at how wonderful. Can you not take a moment and just appreciate this?" And Jesus, he is not really a party goer. He's not like something encouraging the people like that. He just says, snuffing out any kind of encouragement. He says, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." That's a bit damping the spirit, right? To give you some idea how great the buildings were, the temple was, is so impressive. It is one of the building people go and visit at least once a year. The stones they used in that building is big. It's almost like some of the researchers say it is 40 feet long and 10 feet wide and 10 feet high and weighed over 400 tons. According to a famous historian, Josephus, he's not a Christian, so he's another historian who wrote about this temple. He says, Herod had 1,000 priests trained as stonemasons just to lift these stones, sort out these stones. So they, proud of these stones that were built together in this building. No wonder people want to just take a minute or so to marvel at things. And they're expecting Jesus to do that. But Jesus wasn't impressed. In fact, he was a bit sad looking at that building. He says, there's going to be no one stone on another. It's going to be destroyed completely, he said. So what's wrong with that building? What we call church. What's wrong with that? You see, he brings to light that the problem that exists inside the church and outside the church. Inside the building as well as outside the building. How do I know that? Because here, just before this chapter, there's a story being told. It's about just a few verses before the end of the last chapter. It's talking about Jesus, the story of Jesus noticing the widow's offering, the 2 copper coins that she gave. Yeah? And it's very interesting. That was the problem, what was inside the temple. Yeah? People were distracted about lots of things, but not noticing what Jesus noticed. That's one of the problems the temple were facing. He says, because this is full of corruption in this building, because you haven't noticed what's going on inside, because you're so focused on these great, wonderful buildings outside, the how prestige. But you haven't noticed that widow that who came into your church, and you missed out what she had to offer into that church. You compare those 2 copper coins going to do anything? Nothing. Compared to that grand building. The first thing is, they lost their focus. See, any church can do that too, don't we? We lose our focus. Sometimes we lose our focus by doing the building projects. Building projects or even doing some kind of mission work. Yeah, we try to do certain things and even that become idolatry. Sometimes we do certain things but forgetting the basic, that what God has asked you to do. To reflect God's love in your action. And that's why these people have missed out. They lost the focus, just noticing the poor who are just right inside the church. Anything that takes God's place can be idolatry. That's what this message tells us. Anything that including your family, that's a bit hard. That including your family or friends or your job or anything that takes God's place can be idolatry. That's a bit of a hard lesson. Because God needs to come first before anything. And here in this story, they lost the plot. That is what they built this temple after demolition of the Solomon's temple. Because they were discouraged before that too. Once the Solomon's temple was demolished, and some few Jews came together with Nehemiah trying to rebuild again. That's where the thing is, there anything greater than Solomon's temple? But God showed them again and again, if you focus on me, my glory will fill, which means it will be better than the Solomon's temple. But again, they lost the plot. And this is going to crumble down. And that's a warning for all of us. Church, institution, anything will crumble down if God is not the center. It doesn't matter how grand the building is. It doesn't matter how big the institution is. That's including the Methodist Church. It doesn't matter how your big denomination is. It will crumble down eventually. If God is not the center. You see, sometimes we got the habit of come to church. It's a do good things to do, you know. We come to church, open our religious box once a week and enjoy an hour and 30 minutes of our religious happy hour, you know. And then enjoy with God's presence and then put him back in the cupboard again. Until next Sunday, and we'll pick him up again. Sometimes that's a problem. But here, and that's where their idea of the temple is like something static. A settled down God. Something that you go and wake him up in the 10:30 in the morning. Or for some people, 11 o'clock in the morning. It depends on what time you arrive at church. And you wake him up and put him back again after the tea, coffee, and a cake after you had it. And then wake him up again next week. But here, God's saying, no, the God that you worship is not settled down in one place. He moves all the time. So wherever you move, the church moves with you. That's a bit of a different concept, right? We'd rather have a God somewhere static that will go and see him, like the other religions will do. They will go and see in a particular place to encounter God. But no, we encounter God anywhere. When God's people come together, and that become a God's dwelling place. And when we do that, then you want to come to church. You don't provide excuses. Oh, sorry, I can't do this. See, one pastor, one minister, come out this kind of encouraging the people. And so he fed up of these people giving excuses not to coming to church. You know, so he, a bit of a humorous way, he come out with a list to help them. See, he started with a no-excuse Sunday. Right? Here's the list that he came out with. To encourage people, do not give excuse. The cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. And the eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching television too late on Saturday night. We will have steel helmets for those who say, the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be provided for those who think the church is too cold. And fans and air cooler for those who think the church is too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who say the minister speaks too softly. And cotton buds for those who say he preaches too loudly. And the interpreters will be available for people struggling to understand the accent. And some relatives will be in attendance for those who like to go visiting on Sunday. There will be a continental banquet, including a Sunday roast, for those who cannot go to church and also cook dinner. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to seek God in nature. You know, some people, it's because I want to go in nature there. So finally, this is my favorite bit. The sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas trees and the Easter cross for those who have never seen the church without them. I know sometimes that we can't come to church. That's I'm not going to make you feel guilty here. But here is the thing. Sometimes the psalmist say, when they say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, they rejoiced. Because you want to come and be part of the family. And here, when we lose the plot, it changes our focus, what it means to be in the church. History tells us when Jesus predicted this temple is going to go down, and he did in AD 70. And it was sad. But is it all doom and gloom? Because Jesus said, that's going to be destroyed. Is it all doom and gloom? No, there is a hope. Because in John's gospel, it tells us when Jesus was asked what miraculous signs he could provide to prove his authority. And he answered, I'll destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So there he is. He's predicting it's going to be destroyed, but he's going to rise up in 3 days' time. So what does that mean? But actually, what Jesus is talking about, this temple, is that it's not made out of these big fancy stones. Jesus is talking about he's going to rebuild the church that's made out of living stones. So something that is moves and molds and it goes along with wherever Jesus leads. And that's what this temple, that's what the church is all about. People were stunned. How could this possibly you're going to build this church in 3 days? Because it took 46 years to build this temple. You're going to do it in 3 days? But Jesus said, yes, I can. That 3 days he referring to, that his own death. Through that, he is going to rescue his church. And he's rescued the church and make it into something different than ever seen. And his glory will be marvelous that you can even imagine. More than that you can imagine, built by the living stones. And how does that look like when the church built by the living stones? Because when the church built with the living stones, this place can be a shelter for people who are going through difficult times. A shelter where you can get healing. A shelter where people get fed. A shelter where you get transformed by the guilt that you carry. Back in the 1700, a songwriter, Charles Wesley, his brother John Wesley, and Richard Pillmore were holding an outdoor service. While they were doing it, a mob attacked them and pelting them with stones. They were compelled to flee for their lives. They found shelter behind a hedge. When a night came, they found their way to a deserted spring house where they struck a light with a flint stone and washed their faces, brushed the dirt from their clothes, and felt at least a moment of security from the mob at that moment. Charles Wesley had with him a piece of lead hammered out into a pencil. He pulled it from his pocket and composed a few famous hymns at that moment, and including "Jesus, Lover of My Soul," "Let Me Thy Bosom Fly." So many, it's a four hymns he wrote in that place of refuge. Wesley was thankful to God for the shelter he had found in the spring house. And he wrote of a place of shelter open to all in Christ. You see, people still need a shelter from life's storms. People still need a place where they can connect with one another and God. And that's why this church, made out of living stones, can provide. Where people can come. And I was having a conversation with the people during the week. The people said, "I find this church is the place where I can get healed. I've been carrying lots of hurts. And I just needed to sit down and be healed. And find a new purpose." Isn't it wonderful? They can see your church is like that. Other than looking at the wonderful buildings. Here is the place where you can encounter God and connect with people. But you always have a battle to fight. That's what Jesus warning them beforehand. Yes, there's a problem inside the church. You lose your focus, but also outside the church, you lose your focus. There's so many teachings, the false teachings, come and pour it on you and tell you, believe this, believe that. Jesus coming. And now Jesus warning them about this kind of like a fancy sermons can be preached, can be attractive. You know, all you have to just switch on the TV. Sometime, you know, give $50, you'll get healed. I can't believe that. You have to get healed to give a $50. I can't believe those things. Be careful about what you listen to. The false teaching is one of the insects that can come into teaching in your church and it can destroy the unity. And that's why it's important that for you to learn yourself the scripture too. And Jesus warning, that's what the house of shelter provides. It's a place of healing, but it's also a place of learning. That you can read it yourself. And understanding what to say no and what to say yes. You see, our faith is not in our strength, in our might, our success. Our faith is not anything that we can create. An attempt to build our way to heaven, to make a home for ourselves, like a Tower of Babel. If it is, then not one stone of that faith will be left. No matter how great the house is, how impressive the building is, God alone is our fortress and our refuge and our strength. Everything else will fade away. You see, many people reject God or Jesus because they had a bad experience with the church. Yeah, many people, if you ask them, because they had a bad experience with the minister or the church or the people. But here's the thing. Jesus had bad experience with the religious people too. And church. In fact, they killed him. So-called the religious people. Remember, a key charge that led to Jesus to be killed because he said he will destroy the temple and rebuild it again. It costed his life because he said he is going to destroy the temple and rebuild it. But our faith is not in people. People will let you down, but God won't. And that's why when you come to church, don't look for the perfect church with the perfect people. You'll get disappointed. As long as you find this place as a place of refuge, where you can grow and encounter God, and you can also help others to grow in love with Christ, then you are in the right place. Jesus was teaching them through this story of that your faith may feel not very grand today, because it may feel like very tiny, like that widow trying to offer 2 copper coins. Your hope may feel little unsteady, but it's enough to make a difference to someone here. 2 small copper coins is enough. With God, whatever we have is enough. Our every gift, our every act, our every kind gesture, our every offer to pray for one another, our every invitation to join here in the church, or every story of what Jesus is doing in our lives will make an impact in this church. And that's why anything that you offer is valued in this church, whether you can sing or whether you can shake hands at the entrance, whether you can have a sausage at the building with someone. It makes a difference. Because God is a great architect. He loves building his grand building with the living stones. And as he is in the process of it, will we want to join him? Let's bring our hope, our faith, and our love, and give it to God. And he can mold it and make it into a grand building that is better than the Solomon's temple. And that's what we are here. And that's why we are welcoming you into this church, some of you. And you are here so that we can bring God's glory. It's not only he bringing you a good church, building a good church here with the living stones, but he's also preparing another place in heaven too, with the better rooms. And he's preparing us here so that he can ready for you there. Why don't we just come together and pray? Lord, here I am. I'll bring my little tiny coppers, coins to you. When we offer the things that God wants, he uses it for his glory. That widow gave everything what she had. That's what the temple made a difference. But other people didn't notice. But God noticed when you give everything. Maybe why don't you this time? Just close your eyes if you can. What God is asking you to build his church in Heavy Hill. What you can offer, even as a tiny little 2 copper coins, that's a big transformation it can bring into God's building. Maybe it is a challenge. Maybe ask God, bring into light the things that are hide away, the things that I like, don't want people to know. the things that I'd rather don't use it because I feel embarrassed. I'd rather wait for somebody to ask me. Sometimes our pride can get in the way. But that is the purpose that you are here in this building. Because God is in the process of rebuilding His church with the living stones. The same Jesus who said, "I am going to destroy that temple." But same Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock, I will build my church." Simon Peter is an example of failure. He is an example of the two small copper coins. Yet, God built His church upon that rock. You never know what you offer. It can be the greatest asset that church may need to build God's building. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. Lord, we are grateful that you are in the process of rebuilding your church. We thank you, Lord. We are not intimidated by you because you value our every gift. Lord, you can take our times of triumph and success and achievements, and just when we thought that we attained our goals, you allow us to see how hollow and meaningless they are. But at the same time, you can take our failures, our pain, and our disappointments, and you help us to grow and even thrive and prosper in our lives. We thank you, Lord. So we bring ourselves before you. You build your church in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.